Father, thank you for your presence among us this morning. And Father, would you take your precious word and set it on fire in our hearts now, so that we will be changed, so that we will be touched with your love and your power and your truth. We ask you, Lord God, that we would not be those who just look into your word but forget it as soon as we leave, but Father, that we would put it into practice. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This morning, I want us to look at a subject that I've been thinking on for quite a long time. And it's the subject of belonging. I think it's a really big issue in the church at large, in the church in this nation. I think it's an issue in our church, and it's something that we need to be reflecting on and thinking about. And it's one of those things that if we can hear God on this, it would really impact on our church life together. But I'd like to start with a video. And this video, I think, it might look like an advert for the army, but I think it's an advert for church. So can we run the video now? Short and sweet. But I love that. Have you seen those adverts on TV? There's quite a few of them. Whenever I see them, I think the army's great, but I think it reminds me of us. That's what reminds me of us. Because church and belonging in church, you know, the scene that we had up there, it wasn't a perfect sort of idyllic thing. The rain was coming down. Obviously, they'd been on some mission together. They looked a bit tired. He looked a bit kind of like, oh, you know, in shock almost. It wasn't an easy scene. It was tough, perhaps battle-like, but there was such a huge sense of togetherness and a real sense of common purpose that even although it has been a tough day and it's absolutely raining cats and dogs, it's worth it. That's the sort of sense you get from that kind of advert, and it says this is belonging, and I love that. I think that should speak to us about what it means. You and I are soldiers of Christ. You know that old hymn, "Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on." That's who we are. We're just like those men in that video. Sometimes it rains, doesn't it? But it doesn't mean we quit. It doesn't mean we give up. It actually calls us deeper. Calls us to a place together of belonging that is really powerful. And I think a lot of people here and people in our community are crying out to belong. People are crying out, longing for a sense of belonging. But it sometimes can feel elusive. It feels we're not sure how to get to that place often. Perhaps because our lives are so full of chaotic busyness. And the many stresses and strains of life, it leaves us unsure of how we get there. How do we get to that place that those guys were depicting for us in that video? A sense of togetherness, a sense of unity, a sense of common purpose, a sense of not more than community, deeper, something deeper than community. Of brotherhood and sisterhood, of family, of having each other's backs, of being prepared to go out and fight for each other, not with each other. That's that kind of belonging. Isn't that something really worth going for and going after? Much more than just good coffee after church, or just a nice life group, or just a nice existence in a church, that we would be sitting here. Some of us going through times of rain, other times, maybe others of us in times of sunlit a vista, maybe in life. But actually, whatever your experience is at the moment that you belong. Our culture is longing for belonging, but most people don't know how to get there. And to belong is actually something quite countercultural. It's because even though we've got this longing to belong, so much of the way our lives are set up mitigates against belonging, doesn't it? It mitigates against building of friendship, building of community. We don't have mainly time for it. And sometimes we just haven't got the commitment to see it through. I think so often we live in a culture that is so non-committal. It's so laid back, it's horizontal. People are wary and fearful of making any kind of commitment. Actually, the Bible is full of commitment. It's got a more beautiful word for commitment. It's called covenant. And I really believe in covenant. Jesus makes a covenant with us with his own blood shed on the cross. Have you thought about how God is so committed to you? He doesn't withdraw from you. He doesn't hold back from us. But yet we do from him sometimes, and we do from one another sometimes. We hold back. We withdraw. When life can get tough, and I've said this before here, often my experience of pastoral ministry is that often when things are going tough for people, often people want to withdraw and step back. And I've always said to people, that's the time to lean in. It's not necessarily, nobody's saying we have to be strong or perfect, but we do want to lean in to belonging, to love, to care, to community, to something deeper than community that the Holy Spirit can do. There are lots of challenges that eat away at belonging in us. And I wonder if we were to look beneath the surface in our hearts and say, what is it? Why do we struggle to belong? Why do we often feel that place of disconnection rather than connection? What is that about? And I've reflected on it a little bit, and I want to say that in all the things I'm going to share, I have experienced those things a lot. Probably most Sundays I'm grappling with some of them. And I'm sure you will be too. So let's just be honest about them, and it's important to do that. Sometimes the thing that makes me struggle to belong is just a sense of insignificance. That we just feel small. That we just don't know if we matter. Does it matter if I belong? Because nobody will notice anyway if I'm not there or not contributing in some way. Will anybody notice? My thing feels so small. For some of us, it may be a sense of guilt. That, you know, we're not good enough. A lot of people feel that about the church community. Well, I'm not good at this, I'm not good at that, so it kind of disqualifies me in some way from belonging. And that sadly makes us withdraw sometimes when we don't feel we're good enough. Or maybe it's a sense of rejection, where for some reason or other, we don't feel wanted. We feel bypassed. It could be a thousand small reasons that sometimes we just end up with a sense of rejection in church. It might be kind of the fear of committing and being aware of committing is actually sometimes because we have a sense of abandonment, because there've been people part of our church family who are here and then maybe not here, and it can be difficult to keep engaging and keep investing in new relationships because people come and go in our culture, don't they? And that can make us think, oh, I'm just a bit tired of kind of getting up again to invest in another friendship, of welcoming another person, because we don't know how long they'll be with us in our culture of coming and going. Sometimes we can feel, you know, I've done it so many times and I haven't got energy to do it anymore. And it's that sort of abandonment, perhaps. Or maybe it's something more common like offense, where somewhere along the line, we've been hurt, we've been burned a bit by church. the community, maybe this church, maybe another church. But sometimes those wounds can go quite deep, and they're very sad. And I feel it's so important on this issue of offense to really look into our hearts and deal with these things with the Lord. I know church can hurt people. It's never done intentionally, ever. But it just happens, doesn't it? It's life. We let each other down, sadly. But that can chip away at our sense of belonging. And then we arrive at a kind of place where we think, like, we've got this like sense of, I know I really want to belong, but I'm not sure how. And it can sometimes be some of these things are eating away at our soul. And sometimes especially when we leave them unaddressed, they become barriers. They become hindrances to us belonging. It may be a sense of having felt excluded at some time or just disconnected. It may be a sense of disappointment that we'd hoped for something and it never quite matched. It never quite got to what we'd hoped for. And so our hearts get disappointed. Or it may just be a sense that we feel in some way, for some reason, disqualified. That other people seem to get on well. Or other people, those people, whoever those people are, seem to look included and busy and part of things. But for me, I feel on the edge. I feel outside and distant and disconnected. And as I say, I have felt all of those things, and normally feel at least one of them or two of them every Sunday. I don't know how you feel, but actually the truth is we want to be honest, because let me be clear, these challenges to belonging are actually normal. They are a normal part of actually what it means to belong. We always have to work through disappointment and disillusionment in order to end up belonging. Because here's one of the big headlines this morning: the church is not perfect. We're not perfect, are we? No, I am not perfect. A million miles from. Neither are you. Neither are any of us. We're all on a journey. We're all in process. We're all on a pilgrimage of seeking to be more like Jesus. We're all trying to seek his kingdom first and making mistakes along the way. And sadly, sometimes those mistakes result in the things I've been speaking about this morning. That's why it's so good that Jesus is always the one who leads the way in grace and forgiveness. And Jesus' life group, his disciples, that wasn't perfect either, was it? Even the Son of God didn't have a perfect church, didn't have a perfect life group, his disciples, his group of 12. They were a messed up bunch of people as well. And Jesus loved them, and he was with them. The church is not perfect. We're broken. But here is the absolutely incredible thing about that. And that's why I want to just bring something out from Romans chapter 8. The incredible thing is that even though we're a broken community, even though we don't always manage to hit the targets or the longings or the aspirations that we share as a church, and we want to be honest, we are loved together. And I want to read that scripture again. It says there, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again." This is really important. Many of the things I just shared come out of fear. We can become slaves to the fear of being insignificant, the fear that the sort of guilt, the rejection, the abandonment, the offense. A lot of these things come about because of circumstances, but actually they're rooted in some way in our hearts concerning fear. We're afraid. We're afraid of belonging often. We're afraid of actually being known. If I'm really known, will I be accepted? Will I be loved unconditionally? Will I be okay? Will people still want to be friends with me? And often our biggest barrier to belonging is fear. And Romans 8 picks that out, and it says, when you're a child of God, when you've received the Holy Spirit, one of the main things that happens, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. But it says, here's the amazing thing. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. It says, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. And I love that. I absolutely love it, because the key to belonging for the Christian is to know first and foremost, I belong to my Father in heaven. I am perfectly loved. I am unconditionally accepted. I am loved always. Even when I feel rejected, I'm loved. Even when I feel guilty, insignificant, offended, even at my lowest moments, even when I want to run for the hills because of what somebody did to me, I am loved. I've received the Holy Spirit. I belong to God. The absolute foundation of belonging starts with our Father, starts with knowing we're not orphans. We are children. We are accepted. And I just wonder today, what if we could look under the bonnet of each of our hearts, as it were, and look how the engine's running or not running of our relationship with God or our relationship with one another, and what are the things that are maybe causing us to break down a bit or to be a bit hit and miss sometimes with the Lord. There's probably going to be many areas of diagnosis, and I've touched on some of them today. But isn't it wonderful? Despite all of that, I'm loved and we are loved. And here's something amazing that this passage goes on to tell us. Everything is rooted in belonging to this Abba Father cry. But it goes on and says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit. And I'd love you to see this. It goes on, it almost changes now to, it starts with the singular by saying, so that you would not live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And then it goes on to the plural. And it says, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. And it's not just that I'm loved or you're loved, it's that we are loved. Somehow God looks at us in our chaotic mess as a church community. It's a beautiful mess, by the way. And he loves us together, even though we don't get it right sometimes. We are loved. We're not disqualified. We've got nothing to fear from the love of God. It says here, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Which is one of the most radical statements in the New Testament. Not how many of us feel qualified to be a co-heir with Christ? How many of us earned that place because we are real hotshots in the kingdom of God? None of us. I'm sure most of us would recognize this kind of things I was talking about earlier, the challenges that we face. I'm more conscious of my weakness than in my strength. I don't put up my hand to say I'm a strong Christian. I feel like I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm leaning on Christ. I don't have anything in the tank, actually. I've got the Holy Spirit in my tank. I don't have it in myself to live for Christ. I'm not a strong. I often feel weak, but it's his weak. It's in my weakness that his strength is made perfect. That's what he's saying here. If we are children, we are heirs. Heirs of God, co-joint heirs with Christ. And indeed, if we share in his sufferings, in order that we might also share in his glory. It looked a bit on that video like they were sharing in some suffering together, didn't it? It didn't look like roses in the garden. It looked like a rainy day, tired out and potentially fed up, but they were together. And the Bible says we share in his sufferings, not just individual relationship with God, but a joint, something together, and that we may also share in his glory. There's something really, really powerful about being together. I'm sure lots of people might think to themselves, because of the internet, you know, look, I love Jesus. Why do I need the church? I've got the internet. I've got good teaching. I've got a row of DVDs at home. I've got my worship iPod. I could just do it all by myself. Why do we need anyone else? The truth is, God loves us together. We need each other. We're bound together. We're children of God. And you look at this Romans passage and it says we six times. We share in his sufferings that we may share in his glory. We belong to God. That's where we start with this whole idea, this whole concept of belonging. And if you've ever felt disconnected and wondered, how do I connect? How do I belong? Is there a place for me? We start with God. We start with our Father. And our Father has made provision. There's more than a place for us. God calls us more than friends. We are children. We're dearly loved. We're adopted into his family. We are made co-heirs with him. We get his inheritance. We get everything that he has. He wants to share with us. So how can we possibly really, in the end, feel rejected, abandoned, withdrawn, disconnected, when we are so loved? And that is the place it starts. And even if I let you down and someone else lets you down, obviously we don't want to, but it happens. Church lets you down, somebody offends you, you get irate with somebody over something. You're loved. You're loved by God. Even though your father and mother forsake you, the Lord will take you up. Your name is written on the palm of his hand. You cannot be forgotten by him. And so always keep this truth in your heart, that you and I are loved always. And over these next few weeks, actually, we're going to be looking into a few areas of wholeness. So we're speaking next week, for example, about handling stress and anxiety. We'll be talking about healthy relationships and sexual relationships and brokenness there that can often happen. We'll be talking about addiction and some of those places in our society. Addiction is so pervasive in our society today on a whole load of levels. The key thing in all these things is not to approach them from the place of we all fall short, but we want to approach them from the place that we are always loved. And when we have that foundation and that platform, it is such a place of grace. The grace of God, which brings salvation, has appeared unto us. So we want to get free. We want to not allow the strongholds of sin to hold us in fear, to hold us in insignificance, to hold us in the things Lydia and Debbie were sharing, and we're constantly sharing here. We want to get rid of all the strongholds that raise themselves up against the knowledge of God. Everything that promotes disunity, everything that makes us divided, everything that pulls us down, everything that breaks us apart. Let's throw those things off. Throw them off and run with perseverance the race God has marked out for us. We belong to one another. We are loved always. When I talk about why do we need the church, do you know in Ephesians 5:25, Paul writes these words. He says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her." Jesus loves the church. That's why I love church. First, I love church for lots of reasons, and I do love this church. But Jesus loves this church. Jesus so loves this church and everybody in it. That includes everybody. So don't ever feel sidelined. Don't ever feel on the edge, because that's not where God has placed you. That's not where anyone wants to place you. You are a part. You're a member. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in his love, and that's really, really key. So I want to just, I'm going to spend the rest of this morning just saying, what does it mean to belong to church? And I want to try and make it practical as well for us. What does it mean to belong to church? I think firstly, and none of these points are long, so don't worry. I think firstly it means meeting together. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, "Do not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing." And our culture today, and I meet this time and again with almost all the church leaders I know, where the culture of meeting together has changed in our culture today, and not necessarily for the better. People come less to church today than they've ever come before. When I grew up, I would be part of a church. I'd be coming to church like twice on a Sunday. I don't know how many of you have been part of that culture before. But now often the norm is twice a month or once a month or something like that. But I just want to say really, really gently, but confidently, that actually what it means to belong is to come and to be present in the family. There's actually nothing that beats being there, whether that's church on Sunday or life group. And a lot of the reason I think why there's a crisis in belonging across lots of churches is because people simply haven't got the time. And it would be the same in your marriage or the same in your family if that's how we treated our families. The less time you give something, the more disconnected you're going to feel from it. It's not rocket science. But it's something that's really important for us to reflect on. And it's something that many church leaders don't want to say. I don't know why. But for some reason, we're a bit embarrassed about asking people to come to church. And it's not just from the point of view, it's really not from the point of view of just making church feel good or helping me or something. It's really from the point of view of being a body and being able to love each other. We want to meet together so that we can be more learn. We can be a learning community. How can we learn to be more open? How can we learn to be more real and authentic? How can we learn to worship together, to encounter God together, to pray together, to laugh, to cry, if we are not willing to commit to just doing it? And I sometimes feel that it can sometimes be that if in our culture, if I've got nothing else on, I will go. Or it can sometimes perhaps feel, I mean, let me say how I would, because I know that there are anniversaries, parties, family commitments, holidays, things that happen in other places and commitments all over the place. Of course there are. I have them too. So this is not legalism, okay? Not legalism. But I suppose the thing I would apply to it is, if I can come, I will be there. If I can come. So I won't ever be at home just painting the house or something. If I can be there, I will be there. I was here last week on my holiday because I don't see this as my job, genuinely. I want to be here. I would be here anyway. This is my family. You might think, well, it's all right for you. You're the vicar. You get paid to be here. I don't see it like that. I have never seen it like that, ever. I don't even have a contract. If I was contracted to work the hours I worked, then I guarantee you I've done more every week than I have been contracted to do. Not because I must, but because I may. Because I love you and I love this church. And I believe that one of the things that we cannot move on if, let me say it this way, if everyone took the view that they would come to church twice or once a month, we will not make progress in our discipleship. We need to meet together. Whether it is through Sundays or life groups or whatever it is, we need to not be guided by culture, but be guided by the Word. And the Bible says, don't give up meeting together. And so I just want to burst that little bubble of lack of commitment to meeting together. I also just want to say that one of the reasons it makes me sad is because I believe every one of you have gifts of the Holy Spirit, as I do. And if we are not meeting together regularly, other people are losing out because you or whoever is not there to bring your gift. Other people are losing out. And so someone else, who is it that needs what you've got this morning? It might be that you need to pray for someone or listen to someone, or whatever it may be. You've always got something to bring and receive. And if we're not around, you just can't do it. It's not an individual relationship with God that we are celebrating this morning. It's our corporate relationship with Him. We are co-heirs with Christ. If we share in His sufferings, we will share in His glory. But let's not be missing from that and missing His grace. That's the first thing. Number two, it means serving one another. And you see in John 13, Jesus, in his life group, got the towel out and he washed his disciples' feet. And this is one of the things it means to belong, is to serve. The Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. Church isn't there for our benefit. Church isn't there for me to gain. It's for me to give, for me to serve. And we can only really keep things in the kingdom of God that we actually give away. And that is why things, serving one another might look like listening to each other, engaging in meaningful conversations with each other. I'd love us to go that bit deeper and be more real and more honest. And I want this to be the kind of church where we can say, I'm not okay. I am not okay. How are you? I'm actually struggling at the moment. Okay, let's sit down. Do you want to meet for coffee during the week? Whatever. You know, how can we have each other's backs, serve each other, really get to know each other more? We don't want a veneer of Christianity here. We want honesty and weeping with those who weep and rejoicing with those who rejoice. And serving might look like praying for other people in your life group or in the church family. Taking some people to heart in prayer, I really want to pray for you. It might look like really encouraging some people that you might think, they really, you know, maybe they're feeling a bit down and they really need encouraging and building up and strengthening and getting alongside. It might look like using the gifts of the Spirit God's given you. So if you see your brother or sister in need, maybe it's a prayer for healing or whatever it may be, a prophetic word or something that could encourage them. We're a supernatural community. I think basically it looks like caring. And in January, actually, we're going to do a bit more on this, and we're going to spend some weeks talking about how we build a culture of care in our church family. So we put legs on loving one another, and we don't just have it as an aspiration, but as something we can do. The thing is, when we think of serving one another, we need each other. People need you, and you need the people around you, so as I do. I need you, and we are missed. When we're not here, we're missed. Number three, it means contending for a common purpose. Some of the things we've spoken about so far could be seen as maybe more inward, but what do we exist for as a church? We exist to go out. Our purpose is to share Jesus. Our purpose is not for us to sit here like a club. We're not a club. We are a church. We are called to the world. We're called to go out and make disciples of all nations and called to love people, called to serve the community. And this is not easy. I don't find evangelism easy or any of these things easy. But do you know what? I'm so find it easier to do it with you. I always find it much more encouraging to do it with someone else. And that's what we're called to do. We have a common purpose together. Isn't it much easier to do it with others? It's the same with prayer. It's the same with Bible reading or whatever. If we all have a sort of splendid isolation relationship with God, it won't work. We need one another. It's not easy, but when we do it together, it's powerful. And it's this common purpose, this vision, this mission. I want you to think of yourself. You are one of those soldiers on that video that we had earlier put up there. They were on a mission together. And sure, it tired them out. And sure, they looked a bit shell-shocked from it. But actually, they wouldn't probably swap that for the world because they belong. And when you're on serving with others, there's such a joy in that. I find that such a joy. When I was with the Hope Center team the other night, it just gave me the most huge joy to see them serving people in our community. And at the Hope Supper, there was a homeless man there. There was someone from the streets just around about the church as well. There was different people. It wasn't just church folks. There was people from outside the church. But it was all work. Everybody was working together. And for me, it was just like, yes, you get in behind that kitchen and roll your sleeves up and get stuck in. You're going for a common purpose. You've got the same heart, the same vision. Our vision is every person, every place, saturated with God. And that's the heartbeat. And when we're all going on the same vision, we help each other. We pick each other up. We encourage each other. When we feel discouraged, we are encouraged. Does anyone here never get discouraged? I mean, it's patently obvious, isn't it? We all need one another to encourage one another as long as it is called today. We need each other. I remember once when I was on the PCC of St. Aldate's Church in Oxford, and the new vicar arrived, Charlie Cleverly, and he said at his first PCC meeting, he said, I need your encouragement. If you don't encourage me, I will die. And I always remembered that, and I always thought, but do you know the reason why I remember that is because I looked at Charlie Cleverly and I thought, he is a sorted Christian. How could I possibly encourage him? Like, he knows so much more than I do. I could never encourage him. But I learned a lot from listening to him because he did need encouragement. And we tried, Caroline and I, we tried to do that. And it was good. And we built a good friendship. And we need that, don't we? We want to be encouragers. You might look at someone else and think they're fine. Actually, they may need encouragement. Probably do. And it's a good thing to do that. The last thing, so I've said, what does it mean to belong? Belonging means meeting together. It means being there for each other. You can't shortcut relationship. You just have to put time in. It means serving one another. Which doesn't just mean signing up for things. I'm really talking about the kind of serving that's mostly to do with relationship. It thirdly means contending for a common purpose. And then it lastly, for me, means healthy. Sorry, there's probably many other things, as time is limited. It means a healthy accountability. Healthy accountability. This is about us having an element in our lives where if we want to grow as Christians and if we're serious about our discipleship and want to get to know Jesus more, then there are some basic things like basic disciplines of the Christian faith that we simply need to grow in. And accountability that we need to have. That's why we need teaching. That's why we need training. Another thing about those soldiers, which is why I think it's such an amazing 30-second video, is that they just didn't get to be soldiers like overnight. They would have gone into training to be soldiers. How do you keep your weapon clean? How do you get shelter in the middle of a storm? How do you eat when you're out on the battlefield? How do you just keep clean? Those are things that people get training for. And we're quite used to training maybe in the world of work, but we're not so used to the idea of training in Christian terms, like training in righteousness. And one of the things that helps with in church is this sense that we are together in training, if you like. We're a learning community. We're growing together. And even though we're getting it wrong sometimes, there's a lot we're getting right. And we're learning and growing. So it's about flourishing. When I think of training, I don't think of it as rules and regulations. I think of how to get the best out of people. I think of how can we flourish. I want everyone in St. Mary's to flourish. How can you be the best you that God has created you to be as a child of God, and for you to flourish in that? And this is about encouragement. How do we do healthy accountability? It comes through both encouragement and rebuke. If you were one of those soldiers in the army there, I bet all the soldiers in the army have sometimes been encouraged by the commanding officers, and sometimes they've been taken aside and giving a dressing down, haven't they? Sometimes they have ended up being rebuked. And I know that in the army probably happens fairly abruptly. I don't expect that in church. But actually, that there is a place for encouragement and a place for rebuke in our belonging. Let me put it this way, if I only ever said nice things to you, would that be an evidence that I loved you? Or not? What do you think? Generally do say nice things because there are lots of nice things to say. But let me give an encouragement and a rebuke this morning. Are you ready? An encouragement. Here's the encouragement first. I always feel so proud, in the right sense of the word proud, of this church family on a whole number of levels. But when I see life groups look after each other. And I've seen recently a number of different life groups looking after each other. No one would know about it. But it's very precious to God. People being cared for. Well done. When I see the Hope Supper and that team step up to serve one another, well done. When I see the street team, I was passing by yesterday on the high road, and I saw the street prayer team coming out in the rain. It definitely reminded me of the soldiers. Well done. And in so many different ways, I could say well done. We spend half an hour every week recounting encouragements about our church family. Well done. There's so much that's well done. And Jesus wants to say well done. Well done. Now, can I bring one rebuke? Is that all right? After three or four encouragements? One of the things I would love to see in this church, and it does go to the root of this thing about belonging, actually, is coming to worship, ready to worship on time. Amen? Because there is a dishonor when we come in late, and when we come in unprepared, and when we're not ready to meet the Lord, and when other people, such as the worship team, have put time in, and they're here at 8:45 in the morning getting ready to lead us in worship, and we wander in at quarter to 11 or something, whatever. I haven't noticed anybody today, by the way. But it's one of those things that's actually important, and it is about our belonging. Sometimes it can say, if we're doing that, I know that sometimes it can happen for great reasons and understandable reasons, but sometimes it says that church is about me, not about us. And I want us to get to a place where we can be honest, where we can, I'm willing to receive rebuke if you've got any rebuke for me. I actually do that probably more than you know from different quarters. But I want to also be in a place where we can share honestly, and that there's nothing that we put under this carpet, where we can be just honest and say, this isn't quite working sometimes. It is quite discouraging, actually, to lead a service where the people are not ready to be led. That's how it can feel. It can feel quite difficult. And so I want to encourage us with that belonging, and encourage us into the healthy accountability that the kingdom of God gives us. None of us are the Lone Ranger. We're all together. Just like a referee blows his whistle sometimes in a healthy game of football or a healthy match of rugby, just like the umpire sits at the tennis court, we all need accountability to keep us healthy in our Christian lives. And we can do that for each other. The last thing I want to say, sorry I've gone on too long again, that's probably one of your rebukes to me, isn't it? Let's be honest. I know. Shorter sermons, Malcolm. I'll take it, okay? If you take mine, I'll take yours. This is the last thing. Belonging is not waiting for a perfect church. It's not waiting for everything to line up and the conditions that I've set for a church to be met, and then I'll feel I can belong. Belonging is about me offering myself for others. And we will not have a sense of belonging until we get to that place of offering ourselves. If we're waiting for something to be done for us or to us, it probably won't happen. The key thing is that the ball is in your court and in my court, our court. Am I offering myself to this body, to this local church? Am I offering myself to my brothers and sisters around me? Am I offering myself when I'm in life group, when I'm in anything I'm doing? Am I offering myself first and foremost? That is the place of connection. And if I do that honestly, authentically, humbly, and just the best I can, with all my mistakes, mess, and chaos, and not getting it right most or some of the time, but at least if I'm offering myself, that will be a place of belonging and togetherness that we wouldn't want to swap it for the world. And I want to be in the kind of church that we all want to be here because we love each other so much and we don't want to miss what God's doing. Amen. Amen. And I